Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to one a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the ZCast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZCastNetwork.com and definitely check out those shows as well. Neil Pasricha is the author of Our Book of Awesome, a celebration of the small joys that bring us together. Neil is the author of 10 books and journals, including The Book of Awesome, a spinning Rolodex of simple pleasures based on his 100 million hit award-winning blog, 1,000 Awesome Things, The Happiness Equation, originally written as a 300-page love letter to his unborn son on how to live a happy life, Awesome is Everywhere, an interactive introduction to guided meditation for children, 2-minute mornings, a simple daily morning practice, and You Are Awesome, a 9-step guide to building resilience told through stories and research. Neil's books are New York Times and number one international bestsellers and have spent over 200 weeks on bestseller list and have sold over 2 million copies across dozens of languages. Neil also gives over 50 speeches a year at places like Harvard, South by Southwest, and Shopify. His first TED Talk, The 3 A's of Awesome, is ranked one of the 10 most intriguing of all time. And his second is called How Do You Maximize Your Tiny Short Life? An artistic side project called The World's First TED Listen, composed entirely of questions. Neil gave the most attended feature keynote at South by Southwest 2019 called Building Trust in Distrustful Times. Neil also hosts an Apple Best Of award-winning podcast called Three Books, where he is on an epic 15-year-long quest to uncover the 1,000 most formative books in the world. Neil shares his current writing on his blog and in a series of newsletters read by over 100,000 people. Neil's pro bono work focuses on youth literacy and mental health. He has degrees from Queen's University and Harvard Business School. Neil lives in Toronto with his family, where I actually saw him when I was there for the Toronto Film Festival. Welcome, Neil. Thank you so much for coming back on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss our book of awesome, a celebration of the small joys that bring us together.
And dads don't have time to read books.
Okay. You have such an amazing story. We've talked about it before, but it was a long time ago. So maybe listeners now haven't heard and they don't know why you've started this whole awesome series of books celebrating the little moments of life in all the different ways that you do, which is wonderful. So would you mind giving your backstory of how you got started and then how you ended up with this book?
Absolutely. Sure. So my mom's from Nairobi, Kenya. My dad's from Amritsar, India. They had an arranged marriage in England in the 1970s. They moved to Canada, to a shady suburb of Toronto called Oshawa, Ontario, where I was born in 1979. When I grew up, my parents told me that, you know what, just work hard, then you have a big success, then you're happy. You know, like
follow the normal life plan. So I did. I did everything I could. I graduated from school. I had good marks. Went to university, Queen's University. If anyone is listening who's a Canadian and knows Queen's, I went to Queen's. Then I went to Harvard Business School down in Boston, which I know is an alma mater that we share. And I come home to Toronto. I'm married. I got a good job. I'm working at Walmart. I've got my, you know, I'm a manager of leadership development. Everything's going according to plan. This is in my late 20s. Then everything falls off the rails. In the span of a few days, my wife tells me she no longer wants to be married to me, and my best friend takes his own life. These two things propagate a sense of, you know, listlessness, depression, anxiety, overwhelm, everything all at once, partially amplified by the fact that I hadn't experienced a tremendous amount of setbacks before. And so I immediately sprung into twice a week therapy at my mom's strong suggestion and started a blog called 1000awesomethings.com as a way to try to cheer myself up. So for the next 1000 straight weekdays, I went to a website called 1000awesomethings.wordpress.com and I wrote about, you know, wearing warm underwear from out of the dryer, playing on old dangerous playground equipment, getting called up to the dinner buffet first at a wedding. And nobody read this website except for my mom. Although one day she sent it to my dad and my traffic doubled. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I started getting hits on things like, you know, Fark.com or Dig.com and Reddit.com, just to throw a bunch of names out there for people that are like surfing online in 2008. And the blog got 100 million hits, won the Webby Award for best blog in the world from the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences. Then I was approached by 10 literary agents, and I went with Erin Malone from William Morris Endeavor, and she conducted a 5 publishing house auction turn my blog, 1000awesomethings.com, into my first book, which came out in 2010 from Amy Einhorn Publishing, which was at that time a division of Putnam. And it was called The Book of Awesome. And so they printed 6,000 copies of the thing, Zibby. So like, you know, despite the blog, you know, being popular, blah, blah, blah. 6,000, that seems like enough books, right? Well, it sold 1 million copies. And I say that with like a stunned experience. It's still surprising. I mean, a number of things totally fell into place all at once. It helped that the world like now was like riddled with bad news. So this sort of punctured the zeitgeist with a dose of sort of cynical positivity, because of course I was writing from how I was feeling, and it wasn't just Pollyanna. I was like, when I talked about old dangerous playground equipment, I'm talking about like burning your legs in hot slides and falling into cigarette butts. And, you know, I actually have the sense of self that I had when I was going through my depression in baked into these awesome things, you know, so they come across quite acerbic sometimes. And of course, Heather Riesman made it a Heather's Pick in Indigo Canada. And I had a TED Talk. I was invited to do a TED Talk right after it came out. And then that thing went viral. So just all these things fell into place together. And to this day, now, 12 years later, I've written 10 books and journals to this day now. Okay. Nothing's come close to that first one. Okay. Like, it's like Tuesdays with Maury for Mitch Albom, right? Like, it's like my first book. And by the way, people often ask me, well, what are you going to do? You're never going to top the success of your first book. And I draw upon a paraphrased quote from Diablo Cody, who was an ex-stripper from Minnesota who wrote a movie called Juno, which ended up getting nominated for Best Picture. And she was asked, well, how are you going to top Juno? And she said, I'm not, and I never will. And the fact that the first movie I wrote became Best Picture relieves me from the obligation of ever worrying about it. So I like to think, Zibby, that I have had the chance over the past 12 years to just explore with my writing. I got lucky early. It doesn't happen often. Lightning struck me. I'm very grateful. And now I have ended up getting remarried on the flight home from my honeymoon. My wife, Leslie, told me she was pregnant. I spent the next 9 months writing a 300-page letter to my unborn child called The Happiness Equation. I don't know if people are watching this on video or not. I can't quite reach it with the wires, but it's right behind me. It's the blue book. That's The Happiness Equation. I'm realizing that I'm thin-skinned. I get a bad email. I'm like destitute for days. So I wrote a book about resilience. Okay. That's The Resilience Equation. It's titled as You Are Awesome. And then now 12 years later, after running away from the project and the concept forever, I have decided that in this era of algorithm-infused addictions, endless social media strife, I believe, is really causing massive problems in our society, higher than ever rates in human history of anxiety, loneliness, depression, and suicide. I'm telling you, all four of those things are at all-time highs. I was like, we need another one, and I need it too. I need it too. The pandemic's been horrible. So I wrote Our Book of Awesome. It is a brand new 432-page hardcover from Simon & Schuster. Yes, I changed publishers. Long story, we could talk about it. Basically, my editor left the company. So then, you know, you don't have a home. And so I'm really grateful that Simon & Schuster's like, we want it. And so I wrote a new one, and it's the biggest one I've ever written. And it includes tons of them written by me. Awesome things like, you know, texting your husband to do something when he's upstairs and you're downstairs, right? Adding a gift note to yourself in your online order. Carrying the ice cube tray. You don't do that?
I don't do that.
It's so great when you get it. You're like, oh yeah, dear Zibby, I thought you'd like this. I'm Zibby. Carrying the ice cube tray from the sink to the freezer without spilling, right? Mm-hmm. Finally unsubscribing from that annoying email you've been getting forever, right? And so I write these things. And you know what I usually do is I add between 100 and 1,000 little kind of like a write-up, like almost like a blog post. But I purposely stick them in the book without table of contents, without any index, without any dedication, acknowledgments about the author, photo of the author. Why do I strip all that out? Because I want it to feel like just a giant thing that just pops you into a good mood whenever you need it. So, for example, if you were to read Finally Unsubscribing from the Annoying Email You've Been Getting Forever, it goes, let freedom ring from the felt-covered walls of cubicle farms. Let freedom ring from the dimly lit university dorms. Let freedom ring from phones at the back of the train. Let freedom ring from laptops at the back of the plane. But not only that, let freedom ring from daily coupon deals. Let freedom ring from annual donation appeals. Let freedom ring from local sponsorship requests. And let freedom ring from spammy marketing contests. And when this happens, when we let freedom ring, let's all join hands and saying, free at last, free at last. Look at this empty inbox. We are free at last. Awesome. Now, they aren't all Martin Luther King, you know, speeches, but that's just, since I mentioned that one, I thought I'd read that real quickly. And there's just, that's it. That's the whole freaking thing. So maybe you're like, well, no wonder the first book did good. It's not even like a book. It's just like a bunch of stuff stapled together. I mean, that's all it is. And I just came back to it because I needed it myself. And I know from the research, we could talk about it if you want. There's all kinds of research on gratitude. There's all kinds of research on awe. And there's all kinds of research on journaling. And there's all kinds of research of sharing positive things socially. All those things looped together means if you pick up the book, you're going to be happy. It's as simple as that. It works. It's medicine.
Wow. That's amazing. All right, did you record the audiobook? I have to ask.
I did. But, you know, this book, I wanted it to be by Neil Pasricha and friends. Yes, oh. I can't even say my own name, right? Neil Pasricha and friends. So, and the publisher said no. They're like, it can't be, you know, legally it's not and friends. I was like, but although I wrote 80% of them, I had over 10,000 submissions over the past 12 years from people writing their own. Wow. And I wanted some of those voices and those comments and those ideas to be in this book. So I've weaved them in. They amplify throughout the book. It ends in a culmination of awesome from around the world where like the last 10 pages of the book are written on a different color paper. It fades to black and the awesome things get smaller and smaller. And even the back page of the hardcover is just another 200 awesome things in 1-point font. That's the whole back cover. That's it. That's all it is. Because I want to feel like a cacophony of awesome amongst and between all these sort of, you know, positively looking people around the world. So I put M Friends on the cover. I recorded the introduction. I recorded about 50 of the awesome things myself. But like the book itself, I wanted the audiobook to continue to amplify and reflect more and more diverse voices. So we hired as many actors as the publisher would let me, which is 8. And, you know, because I was inspired by Lincoln and the Bardo, the audiobook for Lincoln and the Bardo, which has like 132 people in it. I don't have the same budget that George Saunders has, I guess. So I got 8. And so the 8 people plus my voice amplified throughout the book. And it sort of feels like a conversation amongst people talking about positivity. I wanted that to be the vision, like any artist, like any writer. You know, we'll see how it ends up because I'm talking to you before Pub Day, which is December 6, 2022. But if after Pub Day that actually worked, then great. And if it didn't, as always, I tried, you know?
Testing is good. That's the only way you really know.
The only way you really know. We're trying other things. Made the book a bit smaller this time, a little bit more like pockety size, but we kept it as a hardcover because we want it to be giftable, right? Because you know, when you give a book of awesome to a teacher or to a, you know, a sick family member in the hospital, yeah, you want to communicate like, I care about you enough that like, you know, I got you something sort of, you know, hard. That's for some reason, like you wouldn't give someone an audiobook, right? Like you wouldn't give someone like an ebook. So paperback and hardcover are really only giftable book formats, are they not?
True.
I mean, I just have never given someone. Like,
you think it's an insult to give someone a paperback?
I do not think it's an insult to give someone a paperback. I'm saying paperback and hardcover are the only giftable formats because although ebook and audiobook are skyrocketing in popularity, et cetera, have you ever given one as a gift? I don't think so.
No, but I think that's because they don't have the right packaging for it yet. I think
that's what I'm saying.
They could totally do a better job.
This is a market opportunity for moms don't have time to.
I'm on it. I'm putting it on my on my master list.
No, but seriously, there's a real opportunity here. Like, there's tons of audio originals, right, that you can't hear anywhere else. If I want this specific Michael Lewis book or Adam Grant book that's only an audio, I should be able to get that as a gift. And then that receiving that gift should invite me onto the platform, right?
Well, you could give them as a gift, but it's just like an email. And so.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's not fun. That's not fun.
It's a notch below gift card, which is already bad because it's a little piece of plastic. What you really want is something that, you know, is wrapped in a box. And maybe this is us being too capitalistic and commercial or something.
I don't think so. I think we got to run with this one. I'm loving it. I think you could print out like custom barcodes with the unique thing and you would just scan it and get your audiobook.
Yeah, or if you want to go really big, you give someone an audiobook device.
And headphones.
Yeah, headphones. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
You should actually go to the Beats people and ask if you could put your book in with the packaging.
See? And now you're talking. Yeah, it's something like that. It's because you get some physical. And also, the other thing I'm pointing out here in my mental exploration with you on this is that I can't listen to anything on my phone. My phone is full of temptation. Mm-hmm. It's full of temptation. I don't know why Oprah's going around telling people that they should be reading on her iPad. Well, I do. Apple paid her $100 million, but she shouldn't be doing that. iPads feed you endless texts, messages, alerts, notifications. Single tasking is the new multitasking. I think if you want to read a book, good luck getting through Anna Karenina on a device that can text you every 10 seconds. And don't tell me airplane mode because it's also just the bright screen. Research from Australia says if you look at a bright screen an hour before bedtime, your brain doesn't produce as much melatonin overnight. In fact, evolutionary biologists are suggesting that you actually get an increase in energy after you turn off the screen because, you know, your primal brain wants to get the cave and the fire set up before you go, you know, before you go to bed. So what I'm trying to say is we need to get back to reading in formats in ways that are easy on our eyes, that are ideally off screens, and that are single tasking devices, which luckily for all of us, books satisfy.
So are we basically, are we trying to bring back the Walkman? Is that really where we're headed?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. Well, when I say single tasking, I mean, a Kindle is a single tasking device, right? So I think when Bezos came up with that, he had a pretty famous quote, which is he wanted people to have a device that only read books.
Mm-hmm.
That was the point. And he used e-paper, so it was easy on your eyes. You can remember the whole ads. You can read it even in bright sun.
Yeah.
The whole captivating proposition was that you could read it on a beach and if sand fell on it, it didn't wreck the screen and you can't do anything else on it. So I actually applaud the Kindle, ironically, because it prevents you from trying to do anything else. And of course, the accessibility is wonderful, right? And I get lots of emails from readers that are like, you know, they want it in big font and that's totally fine. My eyes are on the cusp of falling apart. So I can now totally relate because I'm 43 and I just got glasses again after getting laser eye surgery 15 years ago and thinking my eyes were fixed forever. Turns out I was wrong. And now I'm back in glasses world and now I want big font.
Yeah. My font is embarrassingly large.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And by the way, my mother flew here yesterday from Arizona, and she was like, Sib, I was ready to listen to your audiobook. The man next to me, we couldn't figure it out. All I kept saying was sample, sample, sample. And finally I was like, Mom, did you ever buy the audiobook? You know, you have to buy it. She's like,
yeah, she listened
anyway,
to the sample.
It's not so user-friendly, I feel like, the audio apps. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I could never get my parents to figure that out. I just give them a book. Yeah. But, you know, when I started my podcast, three books, one of our values was real books on real pages. I got critical emails from people saying, that's not fair. And so, because my original value was real books have real pages and audiobooks and ebooks are beautiful mutants. That's what I called them. But I got really called out by that. So I deleted that value. And now I think you can read any way you want to read as long as you're reading. Because you know what, Zibby, you probably know this. Most people probably don't. 57% of Americans read zero books last year. That's from the American Time News survey. It's the highest number in history. And that number has doubled since the 1980s. So let me say one more time for people listening. 57% of Americans, the vast majority, read zero books last year. Meanwhile, our time on our cell phones is over 5 hours. Our screen time per day is over 11 hours. And don't look at me and say, oh, well, of course it is. Like, yeah, well, 7 years ago, it was 18 minutes per day on our cell phones. Like, it's skyrocketed. And the attention spans that we're fracturing with TikTok and other social media is truly horrifying. And I applaud the work of Jonathan Haidt, who lives somewhere down the street from you, NYU, Haidt, who's working on a book called After Babel and just wrote a recent cover story in The Atlantic called How Social Media is Fracturing the Mortar of Society. And he was just featured on 60 Minutes together with Tristan Harris, who's the founder of the Center for Humane Technology, talking about how, I'll give you just a couple examples, Ibby. The age of allowing people on social media is 12. Well, that age was come up with in the 1990s, far before the technologies that we're protecting our kids against were developed. And turns out these technologies can actually affect the developing brain. And we really shouldn't allow people on social media until at least 16. should be more like 19 or 21. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't be thought of as anything different than alcohol, for example, in terms of what they do to the long-term ramifications of her brain. But because, as Kevin Kelly says, these technologies are only 5,000 days old, we don't know yet the long-term ramifications. So that's just one, that we should be increasing the age. The second thing is, every single social media platform needs to have baked in a time use. Like time use warnings and shutoffs should be baked into the. Does anyone feel good after 4 hours on Instagram?
I have a time use alert on my Instagram.
So what do you make it for? How much?
I make
time
it for
a day?
An hour a day.
1 hour a day. Okay. Right. Yeah. I do that on my fantasy. I do that on my fantasy football app, and I make it for 15 minutes a day. But the only problem is when it pops up and says you've had 15 minutes, I can press a button right there that says ignore.
I do. So I do ignore it. But then at least I know, you know, I know it's I'm hovering really? Close to the line.
I know. But what I'm saying is this is you, a very aware and conscious tech savvy person who's running a podcast and of course is running a big media thing all through Instagram. You have come up with a thing for yourself. The average person, and I'm speaking of my own family and friend, they got no chance. It comes down, it comes down to the default settings.
Yeah.
If when you first get an Instagram account or a TikTok account or a Twitter account, it should say, okay, maximum, 1 hour a day. Otherwise, if you've got a compulsive personality like me, you're wrecked. I'll tell you, Zibby, I have to not only delete all those apps from my phone, which I do, I have to then give my actual phone to my wife, Leslie, on Friday and say, do not give this to me till football starts on Sunday. That's 48 hours I have to give her my phone every week. Otherwise, I'm compulsively addicted to it. It's bad. And I've also deleted my email app. I've deleted any news media app. I've deleted all social media. I have nothing on my phone that can get me, because otherwise I won't stop. Huh. I read 100 books a year. The only way I can do it is by being hardcore on deleting everything else on my phone.
Wow. Yeah, I think that we forget sometimes that social media is, and I don't even know why we're talking about this, but it's fun, that it's a choice. Like that the convenience, like getting everything delivered, it's almost the holiday time, and when your book is coming out, it's like mid-holiday season and everything. And I'm like, it's not as fun to just go on random websites and buy things. Like it's so much more fun to go to a store, interact with the people, pick something out, have that experience. Like, what is productivity really?
Yes.
Productivity comes at a cost.
Well, I just bought a book literally yesterday by Jason Guriel called On Browsing. The last name is G-U-R-I-E-L, and it's like a tiny little skim thing. And I also am a big fan of the work of David Sachs. His last name is S-A-X, and he has a book called The Revenge of Analog, and he has a follow-up about it coming. You should really have him on.
Oh, I have that here. Wait, I have that right here. But anyway, go on.
I'm just saying, I think that what you are talking about, what I'm talking about, what David Sachs is talking about, what Jason Guriel is talking about.
Future is analog.
Exactly. Yeah. You might notice my name on the cover as I blurbed it.
I didn't, but he's coming on.
Great. I'm happy to hear that because he's a fellow.
He took you off the cover. I hate to tell you. Maybe it's on the back cover. It's on the back cover. There you go.
Oh, okay.
You were demoted. Great. I'm sorry.
What does it say?
It says, there is magic in live. There is magic in real. There is magic in analog. This book is a loud and much needed back crack for our twisted, techno-obsessed society. Ooh, much needed back crack. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, I still didn't even read the one thing I wanted to read you from your book, which says,
go.
This is my favorite that I'm taking away and maybe listeners can take away. When your friend returns your book and they actually read it. Books are personal sanctuaries of secret, silent moments, lifting you up, sending you sideways, stirring emotions deep in your soul. Reading a book feels like an invisible adventure. So when a friend returns your copy and tells you they loved the book too, it's like they were on the adventure with you. Let's expand this adventure together right now, because we're all here celebrating life's little moments. Smile and sense us all around you as we smile and sense you. Welcome to our book of awesome.
Aww. And you, what page was that on? Like 12 or something?
21.
21. Okay. I got the numbers backwards. The reason I asked for the page number is because up until that point in the book, readers will observe if they read our book of awesome that I wrote all the awesome things. And that little tweak is because the next awesome thing has comments on it. So then you start to hear the other voices of other readers around the world. And then there's letters as the book kind of goes halfway. And then near the end of the book, those people start to submit, which means the awesome things have like little bylines on them. And as you probably also noticed, because you're an astute reader, there's Easter eggs, meaning that some pretty cool nonfiction authors, if you're in this space, like Oliver Berkman, who wrote 4,000 Weeks, or Seth Godin, who lives up the street from you, you know, who wrote endless books like Lynchpin, or Ryan Holiday, who's kind of the Stoic philosopher, they wrote awesome things. Like I just put them in. Emily McDowell wrote one. So, you know, it's just fun. It's just fun. A smattering of awesome. A much needed back crack for our negative obsessed society. I'll just reuse my own blurb on my own book.
Yeah, we should all blurb our own books. I think that would be great.
We do. It's like everything is written by us.
I know, that's true. That's true. I know. I guess everything else, all the copy. Neil, this is amazing. I view another million copy hit on our hands here. And this is a perfect gift for everybody who is scrambling for a holiday gift or a New Year's gift or Valentine's or whatever you're looking for. Birthdays, Our Book of Awesome, Neil Pasricha, and Friends in Italics. And now we know why. Thank you for coming on, Neil.
Thanks for having me, Zibby. Keep up the wonderful work. You are amplifying reading to the world, and we need it. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also, sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.